Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text is the first lesson for this Sunday. It's the prophecy of Zechariah that the people were singing as Jesus entered Jerusalem, as we heard in our gospel lesson. We read in Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. This is God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our humble yet triumphant King, who rode into the city to suffer and die and rise again, dearly loved. Do you know what is going to happen tomorrow? Wouldn't it be nice to know the future? Well, then again, maybe it wouldn't be so nice to know the future. But there are some things about the future that we know for sure, mostly because God has done them for us in the past. One of those things is we know we will continue to give praise and honor to God for all the spiritual blessings that we trust He will give us in Christ. We know that He will put daily bread on our tables, because God promises that none of His children will starve or will be without what we need. One day in the future, and in a way it's already happened, Jesus is going to come. He came the first time to save us. We know that in the future He will come again, this time to redeem even our bodies, to take us to heaven, to be reunited with our souls, either as He raises our bodies from death in the grave, or He changes us in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, to give us glorious bodies. Obviously, we do not know every exact detail about the future, but God gives us the big picture. And it is in that big picture that we live and move and have our being. It is in that big picture that today, on this Palm Sunday, I suspect for many of us, the anniversary of our confirmation, as many confirmations take place on Palm Sunday, we will see how all of these blessings and for whose sake all of these blessings come to us. They come to us for Jesus' sake. Our Lord and Savior Jesus, who did not turn and flee knowing what was going to happen to Him, but rode into Jerusalem as Zechariah had prophesied. Zechariah gave some interesting and pretty specific comments about the future and the Messiah and the Passion. It was Zechariah who wrote that the Sanhedrin would give Judas, although he didn't mention him by name, that they would give him 30 pieces of silver in order to betray Jesus. He prophesied that because that was blood money, that it would be used to purchase the potter's field. Zechariah prophesied that they will look upon the one whom they have pierced. And Zechariah wrote those words that Jesus quoted to Peter, "I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered." One of the most specific and applicable today is our gospel lesson, that day that Zechariah foresaw when Zion, when Jerusalem would rejoice as they saw their Savior enter into the city. The people knew that God was going to send his king, and today was the day. Many of them didn't know exactly how he was going to be king. They didn't know exactly what he would have to go through to be king, but God saw to it that Jesus received the accolades he deserved for being our king. And so we see that as Zechariah prophesied that Zion's king would come, on this Palm Sunday we see Zion's king has come as prophesied. We see first that that king comes in righteousness and having salvation. And he comes bringing peace and his rule from sea to sea. Zion's coming king, as Zechariah described him, would be unique in his person and in his work. And that uniqueness was something that Jesus often displayed during his public ministry. When Jesus preached, people said, he preaches with authority, not like our teachers of the law. They saw Jesus manifest time after time selfless compassion rather than step to the other side of the road and walk by someone truly in need. They witnessed Jesus' powerful miracles in nature by turning water into wine, twice calming a storm on the Sea of Galilee and putting a silver coin in a fish's mouth. The promised Messiah would show himself to be sent from God with this authoritative preaching, with this selfless compassion, and with these revealing miracles. He would reveal himself to be the true God, who not only had the power and authority to do these things, but has the power and authority to forgive all of our sins, to raise us from the dead, and to give us eternal salvation in heaven. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, our Savior who came representing his Father to fulfill his Father's will, to save the world, to redeem the world from sin and guilt and punishment by offering up himself on the cross. Zion's King has come just as prophesied, not only just as in time, but just as in manner and purpose. Jesus of Nazareth fits the description perfectly, doesn't he? He entered Jerusalem to the people's praises. Blessed, or praise to he who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. The people were in two groups on Palm Sunday, as I hope you noticed in our gospel. There were people who were following Jesus from the Mount of Olives, and they were singing his accolades and his praises with Zechariah's prophecy. And then there were those who were coming out of the city to meet him, and they were singing Messiah's accolades and praise. Our concern this morning is not to delve into their hearts and find out which people were really sincere, which people really didn't understand and thought Jesus would be an earthly king. We really don't know which ones or how many of the masses in these crowds were among those who, less than a week later, joined in the shouting, "Give us Barabbas! Crucify him! Crucify him!" The point is that God the Father saw to it that his son received the praise and honor that he deserved for what he was going to do. And when the Pharisees told the disciples, tell people to stop that. Tell the people to stop praising Jesus as if they were the Messiah. They said, well, even if we would do that, the very rocks would cry out. The very earth would give praise and thanks to God for sending his son. The people, as we today, thank God that Zechariah's promise has been fulfilled, that Zion's king has come as prophesied. Zion knew and saw its king. We are Zion. We are spiritual Jerusalem. And today we see, as we get ready to observe Good Friday and then Easter Sunday, rejoice with our children, waving palm branches of victory, that our Savior has come to redeem us, that he has redeemed us, and that we now stand before God holy and blameless, covered in the blood, the holy, precious blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. The people shouted, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Don't those words remind us of Christmas? Peace on earth, glory to God in the highest. It was on that road, that dusty road in that valley between the Mount of Olives and the Hill of Zion, that Christmas and Easter grab hands. That Christmas and Easter hold hands and meet in that humble man, the eternal, glorious Son of God, riding on those two beasts of burden into the city. That's why Jesus was born. Jesus, remember, asked his disciples, should I turn away from this? This is why I was born. This is why I have come in order to do this. And now he is coming to do this. Here there are so many meetings, the meetings of these crowds, the meetings of Christmas and Easter, the meetings of our sin, the meeting of our sins and the precious blood that paid for them all, that paid for the sins of the whole world, meet there on that road into Jerusalem. We today rejoice in triumph as that Savior is majestic in his lowliness, as he is glorious in his humility, as he became, as we heard in our second lesson to the Philippians, and that's a nice translation there in the NIV 11, that he didn't think being God was something that he would use to his advantage. And so he didn't. He didn't use all that power. But in the humility of his being Jesus, followed his human nature and took that human nature in his willingness to obey his Father's will. Zechariah wrote about that day to come in the future, and there too, what meets today on Palm Sunday. Zechariah's promise of the future of the first coming of Christ and our trusting in the promise of the second coming of Christ. As the people sang that prophecy from Zechariah, the prophet describes the peace that we have in terms of earthly battle. God says, I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. Zechariah is not talking about some millennial kingdom where there is peace on earth, because there will never be such a thing. He is talking in spiritual terms about the battle being over between us and God. That enmity, that separation of our sins from the holiness of God, that barrier has been removed by the sacrifice of Christ. And God has declared peace. And as I mentioned in one of my Lenten sermons, peace is literally the cessation of conflict. It is the cessation of warring against one another. It's so sad, isn't it, to see people who are still at war with God, who think that the war is still going on. There's a very interesting book entitled The Long War Against God that talks about some of these things. Or to think that God is still at war with them, and that there's something that they have to do, or something that they can try to do, or think that there's nothing they can do to be reconciled to God. The war's over. The cross of Jesus Christ, to which he is going by riding into Jerusalem, ended the war. Jesus said, "It is finished." And he meant the long war against God and God's long war against us. We are at peace with God. God is at peace with us, because always between us and our holy God is Jesus Christ, true man, true God, the one mediator between God and man. We take all of our sins to God through him, and God gives us all of our blessings through him. And that blessing is peace. Peace of conscience, peace in the fear of death, peace in the uncertainties of life that we must face all the time. So when Zechariah was talking about the battle bow being broken and the chariots being taken out of the land of Ephraim and the war horses in Jerusalem from Jerusalem, he was not talking about a day when there would be no more war, but only peace on this earth. He is talking about the peace that is already exists, that already exists between us and God in Christ Jesus. And that's why pastors often at the beginning of a sermon say, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ." And then we preach the gospel of peace, the good news that puts my heart and your heart at peace, knowing that we are reconciled to God. The king proclaims that peace is here. The gospel of Christ's redemption goes out to all. Zechariah saw that day of mission work. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea, from the river, and that's the river Euphrates, to the ends of the earth. Doesn't seem like there's much peace coming from the river of Euphrates these days, but there is peace in those lands, in the hearts of Christians, even as they are being persecuted, even as their churches are being destroyed. Because that peace of the gospel is not local, it's universal. It spreads all across the world. And it's our blessed privilege as Christians, as all Christians, to take that good news of peace and reconciliation out into the world. That's how Christ rules the world. Not by returning to his throne in Jerusalem, as Jesus did not take Herod's throne in Jerusalem the first time, but he rules the world through that good news of salvation. Good news that is ours through the means of grace, as we'll talk in a moment when we dedicate our stained glass window. That big world right in the middle And over it, the Star of Bethlehem coming together with the cross of Calvary. And the means of grace as the means through which the Holy Spirit calls us to faith, strengthens us in faith, and moves our feet to share the gospel of peace. We so look forward to the events of God's blessings that are going to come to us in the future, just as the people did in post-exilic Israel from the mouth of the prophet Isaiah. We have many of the benefits about which Zechariah spoke, because Zion's king has come as promised. But there's still many, many more blessings to come, not only for our days in this world, but in the days to come, when we will sing with perfect voices, peace in heaven and glory to God in the highest. Amen.